Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the second Monday of each month from 2 to 3, it must be Coach's Corner, starring Lori and Joe Battaglia. Lori and Joe, how are you?
Not bad.
We're doing great.
Loving the weather.
Oh, yeah.
Loving the weather.
Goodness gracious, yes. We don't like it when it goes down into the 30s and 20s here.
Yuckies.
Yeah, it was cold a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now it's getting a little warmer, and that is nice.
Yeah.
Have you gone to any spring training games?
No.
That was three no's
but
in a row.
We are just down the street from the Diamondback Stadium.
Oh,
over
Talking
there.
Stick.
Yeah.
Very nice. Salt River Fields,
far.
I think.
Yes.
I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sight.
Very, very pretty. Yeah, I liked it. It was actually the first time I was there. I cover the D-backs, and usually they play like right now during the show, so I can't really go, but... When it was on a Saturday, and very, very nice. Great organization, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Arizona,
are.
Tremendous. One of the best in the country, if not the world. Yeah. This is Living the Dream Coaches. Is that exciting? And you are living the dream.
We are. And you know what? We should do a shout-out to your relatives that are in the state of Arizona right now, just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah do that.
Go ahead.
It's my mother is here, and my sister and my brother-in-law.
Wow, that is exciting. They're here in Arizona?
In Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah, they're making a decision as to whether they're going to move to our fair state.
Yes.
That is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And they live in Pennsylvania?
They're just over the water. over the river.
New Jersey.
And it's cold out there, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It is. But it was a little bit cold when they got here. And our sister and brother-in-law are up in Prescott, so it tends to get a little chillier up there than it does here.
So what's the odds? Do you think they're going to move?
Uh-huh. At this point, 50-50.
Wow, 50-50. Are they listening? The big question, are they listening right now?
That is the question. I don't know.
They may or they may not.
Yeah. But we'll play this on the internet for them and
you could
the
do
archives.
That. Yeah, absolutely. Hello, Joe's family.
Yeah. So okay. Jenny and Joel and Mom.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
And I do want to give a shout out to both of you. You are a role model for a great marriage.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, we think so, but
thank you. You don't see it very often.
We work very hard at
that. Yes, we do.
Someday we should have
hard.
A program, whether it's this one or maybe one of the other Breakthrough Thinking shows, just to talk about what does it take to have such a magnificent, magical marriage as both of you? It's 10 years, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's a little over 10 years.
That's
fantastic. We're going on 12 years together.
Yeah.
Any time now.
Actually.
Yeah, I don't know when we actually first met, but February, March was when we met 12 years ago.
That is fantastic. Is that something you might want to do someday?
Oh, yeah.
I think it would serve the higher good.
Well, you know, Joe is Joe's our relationship coach of the two of us, and he's got his immersive intimacy website URL ready to go and get all built out with helpful things for couples.
Indeed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like it. I think this would be good.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, we're going to arrange that because people need help in this area, no question about it. Now, I've seen in the news, we were talking just before the show, I don't know if it was Morning Joe, it might have been David Gregory, it might have been Chuck Todd, I'm not sure, but there was a panel, I think it was what's her name again?
D.D. Myers
has a book out and about women and leadership, and there was a panel, a nice panel. Steve Schmidt was part of the panel, too, who was part of McCain's, is his political advisor, and, of course, in that great movie with Game Change, it was called, on HBO, played by Woody Harrelson. And it was a fascinating movie about John McCain and Sarah Palin and their experiences with that particular thing. But anyway, they were talking about how important this is. It's just not proportionally right now, where women are not in leadership roles in proportion to the population, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Do you have a Lori on Life blog on that?
I do. Thanks for asking.
Sure.
Because this is big for me. I've been a woman leader, you'll hear in the blog, since 1981. And so it's been a long time. So I recently wrote this blog, and it happened after I spoke to a young coworker, former coworker. We worked at the same company. Now we've both gone on to other things, and we were Skyping, and she's over on the East Coast. And we were comparing our lives since we left the company where we both worked, and much has happened in the past two years for both of us. As we compared our stories, we had many of the same experiences. Along the way, I mentioned to her that an intuitive friend, years before I actually moved to Arizona, told me that it would be a man who helped me get to Arizona. And at the time, I was working for a female boss, a really good one, a very strong leader, and I worked for her for 6 years of my career. My coworker noted that she had built her career, and as she did, she was surrounded by a lot of great female mentors who supported her and gave her great ideas, and in general, they helped her out along the way. But when push came to shove, it was a man who actually made things happen for her. And here's what's interesting about this. The females in the story were the same rank or higher than the men, but somehow it was the male leaders that made it happen. And that's disturbing to me. I lived in the corporate world since 1978. In my early career, of course, it was men that made things happen. There were very few females in positions of power. And those that were there had kicked and screamed and sacrificed family life to get to where they were, and they weren't exactly likely to share the glory with some young woman just entering the fray. But that was then, and this is now. The situations that happened with my colleague and I were in the past 3 years. So what's the excuse? I'm a female leader, and I've had people reporting to me since 1981. That's a really long time. And I find myself wondering, did I do all that I could have? Have I made things happen for people? Have I built my centers of influence to be strong enough to be able to help people make moves? Or am I that woman that folks go to in order to feel better so they can get back up on the horse and ride? Don't get me wrong. There's something to be said for being the supportive female leader, and lives get changed for the better when we're surrounded by people who lift us up rather than smacking us down. But when push comes to shove, female leaders, do we exercise our influence? Have we built enough credibility to be respected as a mover and a shaker? My challenge to all female leaders is take a look around. Who have you helped and in what ways? Can you do more? Can female leaders work together to help people make the changes in their lives that set them on the highest and best path? And I think we can.
Wow, that is quite a... And they could read that blog also...
They can. They can check that out on my blog, which is on www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. And you go to our blog sections, you'll see Cup of Joe, and you'll see Laurie on Life, and it's in Laurie on Life.
Which is LOL.
LOL.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is very good. So that's very interesting, and that's something that is getting a lot of publicity right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? What has to change, do you think, to get to create more opportunity for the great talented women out there that may be getting stifled?
Well, do you want to chump in, Joe?
It's a myriad, I think, a myriad of such, there's fear involved.
Mm.
What would happen to this country if a female became president? Oh my God, the world's coming to an end.
Wow.
You know? Something
so
like that.
Fear does Same, have a lot to ab- do with
I,
it.
I believe it does. It's not the way it's always been.
Yeah.
So there's the fear of the unknown. They don't really know what's going to happen if a female takes over my country. Or I'm sorry, that's a different story. But my company.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
What happens if I work for a boss? How is she going to react if?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that person may have never had a female boss. I think a lot of it is fear.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that gets me is that it really lights my fire, so to speak, is that say you're running a company and you decided, okay, everybody who has brown eyes, we're not going to listen to them. We're not going to allow them to step into positions of power. Is it different if it's a woman than if they have brown eyes? So what we're doing, I believe, is that we are discounting 50% of our brain power.
Mm-hmm.
What could become of those of the women we have in our workforce? We could be, I just can't imagine what it would be like if we fully utilized everybody we had at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree. In fact, I did see Sandra Day O'Connor on Morning Joe, and she has a new book out too. And I can't remember the title. I'll try to get that before we're off there. But she, it was asked by Mika or Joe, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. You know, how is it now? You know, she was the first woman on the Supreme Court, and now there's three.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was, she's thrilled. She goes, it should be that way. I mean, look, you know, half the population
Absolutely.
At least is women.
Right.
Right.
And
right.
in Phoenix, there's more, and that's a good odds for dating people.
Yes.
I mean,
for
So I look at the odds. I like the odds. But but it doesn't help me at all. Okay, but anyway, I don't know why. Come on, Joe. I need some coaching advice is what's going
to
happen here.
Relationship guy.
But those would be, you know, Dee Myers would be great to get on the show. Yeah. Sandra Day O'Connor would be good.
They're great boy
leaders, all of them,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And Sandra Day lives out here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does.
So
She's
that's
local.
Sort of cool.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
agree. Fear does a lot. The culture, I think, is part of that. And it maybe it breeds the fear. It's like, I don't know. I don't like it either. I'm with you, Joe and Laurie.
And I've been really watching the news a lot lately. You know, Marissa Mayer, the president and CEO of Yahoo, made news lately because she called in the telecommuters. And that was taken by some people to be a slap at working women. And I'm not quite sure why, because in my company, the telecommuters are equally male and female and probably equally parents and single and everything else. So I'm not sure quite.
What's a telecommuter?
Telecommuter is somebody that just works out of their own home and works, you know, this morning I was working on my kitchen table on my laptop wired into work.
Oh, nice.
And on the BlackBerry and, you know, doing my job that I have from home. And so as companies go global and they're on different time zones and you're dealing with people across the United States or across the globe, it doesn't matter so much where you're sitting. And so this move to call in people was taken as an affront. I took it a little bit differently. I thought she probably did the right thing given the atmosphere at Yahoo and the problems that they were having. And she did what any other CEO would have done. She took a look at the numbers. She saw that the people that were working from home were, from what I've read, not online as much as they should have been or not connected in or not, I don't know what, but not present as much. And so she decided that with the chaos and mayhem and foolishness that they've had at Yahoo, it was time to do something tough, and she made a decision. Now, her timing was kind of bad because she just had a baby, and she just built a nursery off of her own office. And so the thing was, well, I can't afford to buy it to build a nursery for, you know, so I have to come to work now, and I used to work from home. And so there's a lot of other stuff that's going on there. But between her and then last night on 60 Minutes, Sheryl Sandberg, who they also interviewed this morning on NPR. She's Facebook's COO and was named in 2011 one of the fifth most powerful women.
Oh.
Yeah, at least in the United States. She talked about her book is called Lean In. And so you're going to hear that lots and lots in the news right now about women leaning in. And she's saying that there are times when she got named, for example, the fifth most powerful woman, she was kind of embarrassed about it. And people would talk to her about it in the hallways, and she would get all, you know, like, oh, please take it down. I don't want to really, you know, and she was kind of like, my mother would say, hiding her light under a bushel. So she talks a lot about that. And I think that that's something that many of us have done. We've hidden our true talents. We've felt like we need another degree or we need another this or another that. It's that old gremlin, right, coaches?
It is.
Yeah.
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 They were talking about that on the panel of women leadership, where they said a lot of women feel that, well, I got to get a little bit better. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I think that's what you were just saying.
Yeah.
Why not just jump into it? And that's what men do.
Yep.
And
that's
some
what
men
saying.
Do it. And guess what? They're like, whoops, they shouldn't have jumped into that. Get them out of this company. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with you. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we got a special guest.
We do.
From the past, where you're going to do a follow-up.
And she's a female leader.
This is exciting. So we'll be right back. Of course, this is a Living the Dream Coach's Corner, starring Laurie and Joe Battaglia, and we'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And every second Monday of each month from 2 to 3, it is Coach's Corner starring Lori and Joel Battaglia. And, of course, they're from Living the Dream Coaches. And we're going to follow up on this women in leadership. It's big. It needs to happen.
Yep.
I'm a pro-women supporter.
Mm-hmm. You and the other guy sitting in this room, too.
We are pro-women, aren't
we? Indeed. Yes, they are.
In an honoring, respectful way.
In all the right ways.
Absolutely.
In an equal partnership way.
You know what?
Way.
It only makes economic sense.
Yeah, and it's humanistic, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I like it. All right.
All the above.
No question. We're going to follow up on this and get some great guests talking about this, some great women leaders, and see what we can do with this. Now, a couple months ago, you had online coaching, so I'll let you take over from here.
So last April, we had a client that we met at a workshop of ours, and her name is Lynn, and Lynn's from Pennsylvania. We did the workshop back there last year, and we met her about one day into retirement that Lynn had not exactly planned for. And so we asked her to come back and share with us over the last year, what has she been up to? How are things going? We'll just kind of ask her the questions. But, Lynn, hi, are you there?
I am here. Hello, everybody.
Hey, hi. Lynn, how are you?
Okay. Good. And, Lynn, were you able to listen in on that first part about women in leadership?
Oh, absolutely. The bells were going off.
Well.
I've got stories you wouldn't believe.
I suspected as much. Would you like to weigh in on anything before we start talking about you?
Well, two things real quick. One, I think if you realize what a New York trading floor looks like, I was in that environment for years.
Yeah. Oh.
Hanging out of the guys' mouths, the language, the whole attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty hardened to most of that. But there was a story just recently. I was giving a presentation at Penn State, and it was a lunch break to the young women about finances.
Nice.
Free pizza. four guys show up because they want their pizza.
Right.
And I looked at my friend Don, who's the professor, and he said, "Do you mind if the guys come in?" And I said, "No, but watch the dynamics."
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we finished our part of the presentation, all the guys were raising their hands, asking questions, and the women sat there and didn't say a word.
Very demurely.
Every time we talk about finances, I'm putting together a course for women and finance, and I will not allow men to attend the class because it just is a different dynamic. Men jump in and women sit back. And I would hope it was different with, you know, freshmen and sophomores in college, but it's not.
No.
Lynn, why is that? What's in the culture that is creating, or maybe that's the answer, it is in the culture that men seem to take over?
Yeah.
My answer is more hormonal. I think the testosterone really is about, it's showing your strength. And, you know, I can go on for this for an hour, and that's not what we're going to talk about. But men have to show their strength going all the way back to the days of the cavemen. Because if they didn't, and so it's a biological issue, and that's why separating them over certain topics can be very effective, because the women will then participate more.
You know, it's funny about that. Joe and I coach together. And what we've begun to realize, I know at least I've begun to realize, is that some women don't want to coach with a man. They just want the woman,
right?
Because it does change the dynamic. And no matter how much we say, well, Joe's pro-female, Joe's raised by women, Joe, you know, just I could list a you know, my arm long. If you knew him, you wouldn't be worried. No. It does change the dynamic somehow, and for some women, in order to be really free, they need to be by themselves. And then I'm always the equal opportunity of, well, what we say if men were like that? Well, I only want a man coaching me, you know. Yeah, it's just kind of interesting. Yeah,
and that isn't meant to be an insult, because I spent enough time with Joe that I wouldn't necessarily put him in that category at all.
Right.
But it is just something we've noticed over years and years of dealing with people and their money.
Yeah. Yep. Good point. Well, we ask you to come back because you were, I'll just do the setup here a little bit of, we met you in the workshop, which was called What's Next. A friend had recommended that you go, I guess it was the retreat place.
Right.
You were in a group there. And we met you, and you were one day into retirement and were not looking forward to it. And then we had you a month later on the radio show, and you had come so far in that month. And here we are almost a year later. Well, we are about a year.
Yeah,
we're a year later. So tell us what you've been up to in that year and kind of bring us up to date.
Well, it's been a fun year, actually. I've been playing sports a lot more than I ever could when I was working, taking Spanish classes. But the one challenge that I'm finding is that I'm bored. My brain wasn't ready to retire. And so now that I'm through the 1 year of my non-compete, et cetera, I'm actually thinking about going back to work.
Okay.
It's been a fun year, and I'm loving my freedom. I think that was the biggest. I worked for 47 years. And not having that, you know, have to be on the train, have to get up at a certain time, have to go to a meeting, that's been really nice. So anything that I should do going forward career-wise is going to have to, you know, be consulting, provide me some flexibility, because I don't want to give that up.
Is there anything else besides the freedom and the timing and stuff that you don't want to give up?
Well, I've had the opportunity to travel a little bit. So, you know, going back to a full-time job would restrict some of that, obviously. But I think the hardest part of this, and I tried bridge classes, thinking, you know, keep my mind going. I don't think I'm a bridge player. I don't think I like it that much. Spanish, I had it in high school. I had it again when I adopted my daughters. And I'm trying for the third time. I am going to get that language eventually.
If it kills you.
Yes, if it kills me. And I've also had the opportunity to do some volunteer work, which has been fulfilling. But I think there's a bit of a trap there when you're retired, because you can become a professional volunteer.
Yes.
And so that I'm trying to learn to say no to some things there.
Okay.
And that's not easy for me.
Now, Lynn, you talked about sports. Participating in sports, spectator, what?
No, actually, and I think this may have originated out in your neck of the woods, pickleball, which is like a fast game of tennis.
Oh, I never heard of that. What's it called?
It started
pickleball.
Pickleball.
As in pickle, you know. But it's a fast game of tennis, and I just got home a few minutes ago. I'm playing two or three times a week. Not great, but it's a good workout. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I would have ever picked up otherwise. I hadn't played tennis in about 20 years, but I'm really enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the things that, you know, I didn't have a great bucket list going into retirement. I actually had planned on working until I was 70, so I thought I had another 5-6 years ahead of me. And this did catch me a bit by surprise.
And didn't you tell us when we were just having a little pre-conversation over the weekend something about a weight loss that came along with the pickleball and all the getting active again?
Well, that's the amazing part. Stress is, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, it's in every article about weight. But until you take away some of the stress, I was running a fairly large investment department. And, of course, the markets had been crazy for years. And so I didn't realize what that was doing to me. I've got a goal of losing a total of 65 pounds during my 65th year, and I'm down 36 of those pounds. So I have another 11 months to go to lose the last 29. But that's the one thing. It would have been very easy to just sit on the couch and let that weight keep gathering itself around me. But, you know, not having the stress and not having somebody stick their head in your office every day saying, today we're going for pizza, today we're going for Chinese, that itself is... But it's easier to eat healthy when I'm not doing, you know, takeout food every day. So it's something I just feel really good about.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say it's a very smart move, along with keeping your mind active to keep your body active as well. I also have just immersed myself in circuit training at 63 years old.
Nice.
And boy, is that... Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't like the process, but I love the results.
You want to give a shout-out to Larry at Inception Fitness on that
Larry at Inception Fitness. He is a slave driver, but he is really good. He keeps you going.
But he loves you, baby.
He does. He does.
Now you're supposed to say, who loves you, baby?
Yeah, I know.
Who was that? Telly?
Telly Savalas.
Telly Savalas.
Yeah, he loves
you,
baby.
Lynn, let me ask you a question. You know, you hear so often people retire, they can't wait to retire, so they really aren't enjoying their life until they think they retire. And then often you hear so many people, you know, they pass away a lot. You know, so how did you keep up your purpose? I believe you always have to have a purpose and a mission. Is that something that you consciously thought of, and retirement is not retiring from life, it's just another chapter in your life?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons I'm interested in finding some kind of work again, because it is, that's the hard part. I'm used to being with people all day long, making decisions in difficult markets, you know, coaching coworkers, talking about helping some of the women in the department, and so that's been really hard. I'm an extrovert. I get my energy from being around people, and what I found was it parts during the spring, right after we met, Lori and Joe, I was really almost getting into a bit of a funk because I just didn't have that energy around me that I needed. The interesting part of this, I mentioned pickleball. I'm playing with people who are all retired because we're playing during the day. I could play 4 days a week if I wanted to. One of the fellas, 86 years old, may have served in World War II with my father. What a small world is that. We're trying to pull some of dad's records. This man is unbelievable at 86 years old. And what I'm seeing is the people I'm playing with, I'm actually one of the younger ones, and I'm not one of the better players. That is really motivating.
Yeah.
When an 86-year-old beats you on a fairly fast game, it is the motivator, and it's gotten me back out with people again.
Sure.
So I think that was really one of the issues that I found was so hard. I hadn't planned on retiring, and if you don't plan on it, you don't have a lot of plans to look forward to.
It really comes.
So I had to create that.
It really comes down to what you don't use, you lose. If you don't want to lose it, you need to stay active, both mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like what you said there about you kind of had to create it, because from what I know of you, the times that we've talked, you are a person who does not sit by the background very well. You know, you are a take control person who realizes that she's got choices to make in her life, and you can either roll over and sit on the couch and eat pizza and take out food, or you can get out and play pickleball and get around people.
And I think that's so key. I mean, one of the things that we've talked about was the process.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a year, and I can look back at different parts during the year, and I've watched myself change during that year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, it was almost like mourning. I was grieving for the fact that I no longer had this job, which I loved. I mean, that's the other part. Some people are so glad to walk out of their jobs. I was not. And so that was, CNBC is still one of my best friends at home here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the process. Is it took a whole year to really kind of find myself and, mm-hmm. and say, yes, this is good. You want to do this. You don't want to do that. It's okay to say no. If there's something you're not interested in. And so it's, I'm really cobbled together, I think at this point, a fairly active life.
Mm-hmm.
So Linda, does being an extrovert, you think, gave you some type of advantage as retiring versus someone that would be an introvert? Would that be, you think, more difficult for an introvert?
It could be. I'm trying to think about that. I think, you know, when I look at some of the things I've initiated, you've got to make those phone calls to get out to lunch with people and get together with them. I think that's harder for an introvert to do.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a group where you don't know anybody to play a sport you're not very good at and just saying, hey, I'm going to embarrass myself. That's okay. I'll get better. But it's sometimes harder, I think, for an introvert. Not having ever been one, I'm speculating on that.
Because I'm sure you know, at a high level as a leader, you probably did some networking, used to talking with lots of people at various levels. And someone that maybe not achieved, you know, that type of level, I'm just thinking, like, you know, maybe they haven't had the experience, the confidence, the self-esteem to go out and network. Because that's how I view it. It's like meeting people is sort of like networking. I always view it that way. Anyway, might as well get leverage, make a friend, and a business contact at the same time.
Right. But how good is that?
That's even
so. That would be Dave and I and Lynn. So, Joe, how do you feel about that?
I think it's exactly on target. You know, it's if you're an introvert, well, it's much more difficult to take that step to get out and see and talk to people. In fact, you have to force yourself to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's what makes it. That's what makes it hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe a class called Skills for those who aren't used to networking. You know, networking your way in retirement. I get credit for that one.
Right? Oh, yeah, you do. Write that down.
And the one difference in that, too, is that when you are networking in retirement, you're not necessarily networking to try to promote your business.
Right.
You're
trying
to look for a job, which is a big part of what my experience in networking has always been.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're just saying, I just want to come and have fun, or I just want to, you know, meet people and make new friends. Mm-hmm. And that's very different kind of networking, too.
You know, yeah, from my experience, although when I network, that's exactly what I do, just have fun, meet just how many friends can I make and how many people can I help? So I never, I don't talk much about myself. It's another different, another style, perhaps, of networking.
Becoming a more popular style.
Yeah, I think
it is.
To go
out there and say, how can I help you, instead of here's my business and this is what you can do for me.
Well, why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Lynn Mander, and this is Coach's Corner, starring Lori and Joel Battaglia, Living the Dream Coaches, every second Monday of each month from 2 to 3. And this has been interesting. It's sort of a one-year checkup. I love this.
Yeah.
This is very good. We'll be right back.
Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Coach's Corner, starring Lori and Joel Battaglia, Living the Dream Coaches, every second Monday of each month from 2 to 3. And Lori, we got this is great to have a one-year checkup with Lynn Mander, who was on the program about a year ago and retired, and talking about how it is to retire. And I know you have a few more questions there.
I do. So, Lynn, I'm going to throw you a little curveball here that we came up with on the break that we didn't talk about ahead of time. So have you thought about getting out there into the dating world and taking a look around? Or is that not of interest?
I've thought about it.
Okay.
and I think it may tie in with the weight issue. You know, another 20 pounds, and, you know, I'm going to look more like I did when I was 30.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some extra pounds, but this will put me, you know, in much better shape. You know, Lori and Joe know this. I raised two daughters who were adopted as a single mom, and dating really wasn't an option, so I'm really rusty. But, you know, quite a few of my friends have gotten themselves back out there and have met really nice people. So I think it's an option.
Yeah.
But it's not a goal.
Yep. I understand that.
I've really been a pretty happy adult, and that's not going to make me any happier. It just might give me some more options.
Yeah.
In terms of the next step of my life.
Yeah, you have a very full life, and I was mentioning your daughters when we were off the air that, you know, you'd raised two, and you were telling us that the oldest one now did move to Africa?
The oldest one has moved to Africa with her husband and children, and they are running businesses over there, a big family business, along with some other side businesses that they've started. And my younger one has just finished her master's in education and is teaching at a local school here, and she just celebrated her 21st anniversary of coming to this country on Saturday.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very amazing.
You know, there's a lot of challenges that come along with adopting older kids, and dating wasn't anything I needed to add to my plate during those years.
It
is an option now.
And I think it's kind of interesting because I'm starting to see dating sites that are aimed at people over 50. And because dating's a different game when you're over 50,
totally.
I think.
Yeah. You've been out of the pool for so long. A lot of these people have been out of the pool for so long.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different ballgame.
It is. It is.
Well, that brings up a quick question. Lynn, if you did get back into dating, online dating, scary, not scary? What do you think?
You know, I don't think it's as scary as I might have. I would have answered that differently 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. One of my very best friends, who retired a few months after I did a planned retirement, we had all these things. We're going to travel. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. She had lost her husband now 2 years ago. She went online, met a guy. They're engaged. And there goes some of my retirement plans.
Jeez.
We had talked about going out and working in a national park for 6 months, and now she's getting married.
Wow.
So, and she's encouraging me to get out there, too. So it will probably happen. Mm-hmm. I think I'm procrastinating a bit on that.
Well, yeah. All in due time, right?
Yeah.
All in due time.
It's mm-hmm. something new. It's
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while. So our last question for you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about our friend Sammy that we had on. Sammy couldn't be with us today, but we're going to bring everybody up to speed on her, too. So our last question for you, Lynn, is so you talked about going back to work, and you talked about the things that were important to you to kind of preserve that you've learned in this last year. And I love the fact that last year you told us your friend told you to rest, nest, and test.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that with people that are going through some traumatic times. So as you rest, nested, and tested, you learn things about yourself and what was important to you. So how will you take that into a new, what's the term they're using these days, an encore career?
I've had a very interesting opportunity present itself, and it would be consulting to a faith-based foundation.
Nice.
And that meant going out and talking to churches about their endowment funds, coaching them, mm-hmm. your words, through, you know, preparing documents, asset allocation, managers, finding money managers. Again, all of that fits right with my background and would be very, very interesting for me and is more of a service mm-hmm. part of a career rather than being driven all the time by, you know, we've got to get a new account in, make mm-hmm. money, et cetera. So I think something like that is really interesting,
mm-hmm.
but it would also give me the flexibility to be able to play pickleball,
yeah,
go to my Spanish class, yeah. Have dinner with friends.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that encore has got more flexibility and less, I don't want to say drive, but less focus on those goals that you have in a
yeah.
in a more normal career,
mm-hmm.
and more about just getting out there and enjoying myself.
Maybe a little bit more less, or a little bit less crazy, a little bit less. You know, go, 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 and a little bit more enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, although they do warn me that dealing with church people can be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I remember we were going through that at the time we met you.
We still are.
See? It just doesn't go away. So.
No.
Very good.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much. This was a great one-year checkup. We'd love to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. And if you don't mind, I'm going to listen to the rest of the broadcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. That's
more
than happy to have you do that. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Yeah.
Lynn Mander. Now, Sammy, you had on, when was that?
A year ago? Not quite. That was about last June. We have a friend that we went through coach school with, Sammy Freitas, and she's in Orange County, California. And she went through coach school with us, but she, too, had a day job. And the day job was at a laboratory. She worked there for about 4 years. And Sammy lost her job, and it wasn't a very pleasant kind of thing. It was an altercation with a boss that didn't end up well. And, you know, I believe Sammy was in the right. Nonetheless, she ended up out of work. And the funny thing was, she had put out in the universe that if only she could just get laid off and get some unemployment, maybe she could make a go of this coaching thing.
Beware of what you ask for. You may get it.
Yes. No question about it.
Yeah.
So we're pleased to say that Sammy is on the golf course today. She was going to actually call into the show, and she got asked to play golf. And Sammy played at probably a semi-professional level.
Before she was a coach.
Yeah, and had some injuries, I believe.
Indeed.
And now is trying to figure out if that's going to come back and haunt her again. But she is getting out there and considering coaching athletes. So, Joe, do you want to bring us up a little bit on some of the things that Sammy talked about from the notes that we took? The emotions that she went through and things like that.
Yeah, she had gone through the standard levels of grieving, where she, there was depression, there was denial, there was, bring me up to speed on those, I forget what they are.
Not so much bargaining, but more, I think she talked mostly about depression and anger.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh, and denial.
Exactly.
Yep.
I think that the thing that really struck me about Sammy was that she had gone, she began a search at that point to try to find her, I don't want to say niche, because that's not really what I mean, but she tried to find her passion, and it took her something close to a year before she found, she had tried this, she had tried that, until she finally got to the point where she couldn't deny her passion anymore. And she was, through all the other the stages that she had tried, it wasn't quite a fit. It was it was a good thing to get into, but it wasn't quite a fit. She was never comfortable with it. It was always a forced situation until she finally got into being a golf coach.
Yes.
So something that was her passion before, something that had always been her passion, sports, and it just, it was like putting on a glove of the right size. She finally realized that's it.
Yeah.
That's what came about.
So. And we frequently ask people when they come to us for some kind of coaching, Joe's big on asking them what would they do if they, if money were no object and it, it feels like you're not even working and all those kinds of things.
What would you be doing if you didn't have to worry about money? If what would you be doing if you didn't get paid for it?
That wouldn't feel like work.
That wouldn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And you, if you make that your target, you'll never work another day in your life.
Yeah.
So there, I was just going to ask, you know, there's, from my perspective, there seems to be two types of people out there. One, and maybe there's three, as I'm thinking about, but at least two. People that know their passion, but still they don't live their passion.
Right.
And people that do not know their passion. How do you how do you get people to find their passion? Because everyone has to have something, right?
There's methods.
We take them through processes, and we take them through a lot of introspective activities. I've got workbooks, and I've got activities that people try to get in touch with times of their lives when it was just mountaintop experiences. And sometimes it's this little piece of this one and this little piece of that one. You start putting things together into one big picture and say, what's the common thread there? What's the trend that you see? Why was that exciting? Why did you love that so much? And they can look like unrelated things on the surface, but maybe they all have to do with people, or maybe they all have to do with being outside in nature. And then people have to figure out the question of, can I make a living doing that? And if not, okay, so I've got this job. How do I not resent making a living while bringing in the components? And I thought Lynn talked about that a lot, where she wants to make sure that she can still play her sports and lose her weight and be active. And the job that she's talking about might not have those components in it, but she's going to structure that in a way that allows her the time to do that. So I think a lot of times it's both and people tend to box themselves in, especially when they're talking about their passion, their life purpose. They box themselves in corners, and they're like, it must be this or this.
Right, and the other piece of it is what does society tell you?
Yeah.
Society tells you, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this. So you assume that this is what is right, whether it's right for you or not. So you essentially box yourself in.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but
Sammy talked a lot about, so one of the things in Sammy's background is she has a lot of abandonment issues from her parents, and she was raised by her grandparents. So she started out to be a coach for people who had abandonment issues, and then she found out that wasn't quite it. And as she was, like I like to say, unpacking her baggage, she realized that somewhere along the way, she never had any aspirations to go to college, yet she was offered a full ride scholarship. And didn't even have the SAT scores to back it up, but she went to college. And she felt like if she didn't have a job that had to do with that college degree, then it wasn't really a real job.
It wasn't really work.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when she started doing the golf, the grandfather kept telling her to get a real job.
Gotcha.
And I wonder how many of us that are artists and creative people or sports people get that message along the way that, well, it's nice that you want to play golf, but you know, not many people are going to make it out there. Mm-hmm. It's that cold water of reality that people like to splash on you. Yeah. And so we sort of take that as the truth, whether it's our truth or not. And, you know, we've got a niece that I would love to see pursue her art and do something with it. And, you know, she's sure she can't make a living. And the more she tells herself she can't make a living, guess what? She's not going to make a living.
Right. So it's about beliefs.
Sure. I think so.
Partly, and maybe skill sets, confidence, self-esteem. And
yeah.
I did I said two people. There's actually three types of people.
Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The ones that are living their passion.
Yeah.
How can I forget them?
The people that are living the dream.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that's living the dream coaches.
Exactly.
And, I always like to say, how much do you get paid to abandon your passion? Because people accept jobs and they abandon their passion. So, how much do you need to do that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, it's especially the longer we are into our careers and making more money, it gets harder and harder to walk away.
It really does, which is very sad because then the second question, what is it costing you? Are you ever going to look back and say, wow, only if. You don't want to hear that, right? At the end of your life, only if.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
You know? Mm-hmm.
The saddest words that have ever been said are, and you know them.
Yeah.
What might have been.
Yes.
You know, and I was lucky. I have to admit, I was very lucky. I stumbled into healthcare, which was exactly where I belonged.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, I love to take care of people. And I love to care for people, help people. And it really was an accident.
Yeah.
Somebody was looking after me.
Yeah.
And they guided me right into it, and there it was.
Mm-hmm.
As you talk, I'm thinking, well, knowing Joe, it's probably not luck. Somehow he steered his way that way.
Oh, I know, but it really was one of those thunderstruck moments where it was, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was at that same juncture, I didn't know what. I had been trained to do electronics work in the Navy.
Oh.
And I had jobs waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But I just couldn't bring myself around to do it.
When the student's ready, the teacher appears.
Yes,
the teacher
I love appears. That phrase.
And, right.
Wow.
And I just said, well, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the perfect thing for me.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That is exciting.
Came by way of picture taking, the way you tell the story, too.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is I'm an amateur photographer, and I couldn't get in. The waiting list at the school that I had been accepted at was 2.5 years, and I didn't want to wait that long because I was a 21-year-old kid. And so I just had this thunderstruck moment that I can go into radiology. Well, there it was, and that was the door open. So.
Yeah.
So people need to listen to the small voice.
That's right. You do.
And go to Living the Dream Coaches.
Exactly.
which is also when we're talking about how do people find what their passion is, it really is you have to listen to yourself. You have to find out who are you. It's the who thing.
Yeah.
Who are you? Where is your passion? Where do your interests lie? And follow it. Don't listen to the noise that's all around you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to yourself.
Including the noise of expectation from, you said it, society, and maybe your parents or other people saying, no, you got to be practical.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, right?
Whatever that means. Practical. Sounds pretty boring
they
to
only
me.
Mean the, they only mean the best for you, but they don't know they don't really know your who either. They know you as well as they can, but they can't get inside your head.
Mm-hmm. So.
But getting inside someone's head, are you ready to do the Joe's monthly rant?
I can.
Cup of Joe. Here we go. Joe Battaglia.
Okay. Well, this blog was spurred on for me by pretty much what we've been talking about. It's the fear. It's it's the fear of the unknown. Okay, so I wrote this blog, and it's called What the Cowardly Lion Didn't Realize. The fear of facing the unknown can sometimes be paralyzing. We see the unknown and start to spin all sorts of wild speculations about how horrible the outcome might be if we take that next step. We fret and worry, dream up all sorts of catastrophes that might happen, And then the pain of desire, and then if the pain of desire is great enough, we take the step. Most of the time, the fear is way out of proportion to what actually happens, and everything works out okay. Or better yet, we feel relieved because we conquered something that we feared. Does this sound familiar? It should be, because it qualifies you as being human. We all have these moments. This is what life is all about. These fears and self-limitations are created by our own minds and the minds of others, our parents, God love them, who don't want us to be hurt. The problem is that these fears prevent us from realizing what is well within our capabilities. What would the human race look like if we could achieve our true potential and not be held back by our fears and prejudices? What would your relationship look like if you had the courage to have true, honest, and courageous communication? What if you could convince your children that they could really have anything they wanted if they just set their minds to it? What the cowardly lion and ourselves don't realize is that we have the strength and the ability all along, and the only thing that prevents us, him, was himself. The truth is, we always have the keys to our own chains, and all we have to do is have the courage to set ourselves free. Could it all be just that simple? Don't ask the cowardly lion, ask yourself.
Wow, nice. And you can see all of Joe's great blogs on your website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
What is your website?
And that is www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Mm-hmm. Or?
And the 888 number is 888-505-5762. Give us a call.
You know, I like that, where the courage to set ourselves free. I mean, ask yourself. So many people either don't have the confidence, the beliefs, or they give too much power to the external, people outside themselves,
right.
Whether it's a partner, a boss, family, friends. And that creates, talking about stress, that is stressful.
Yeah, and we so easily give it away in our little things we do day to day. And you know what's cool? I know we just have to wrap it up soon, but just to finish Sammy's story, one of the things she told us was that she is at that, you know, it's time to get off my butt and do something with this stage of her coaching. And she's trying to figure out, how does the golf and the coaching come together? And, you know, we're not talking about golf coach on how to improve your swing. It's the mental process of, you know, the internal you and what's holding you back in the game of life. So she's figuring out how to put all that together and struggling her way through it, you know, waiting for, maybe I should take this other course or that, like so many of us do.
Yeah.
I saw a little video today. Did you know that Michael Jordan was cut from a basketball team?
His high school senior basketball
team. No kidding.
He went home and cried in his room.
Yeah.
What if he had not had the courage to come back? Had just given up right there.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. That is an astounding story, because he was voted number one athlete of what? The century.
The century. Wow. Yeah.
And people believe he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time.
Of all time.
Mm-hmm. And if he, look at how he blossomed later, or had a different coach or something. How could he possibly get cut?
Yeah.
I'd hate to be that coach, because that's the trivia question that goes around. And that's really? And are you still a coach?
Yeah.
You didn't see the talent this kid had?
There it is.
Never know.
But so the moral of the story, do not give up, and don't give your power away to a coach or anyone, a teacher.
And figure out your own truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
And surround yourself with people that will support you.
Yes.
And guess who that is? That's Living the Dream Coaches, starring Lori and Joe Battaglia. And again, your website and phone number, any contact information.
Okay, livingthedreamcoaches.com, and we are at 888-505-5762.
And I highly recommend everyone gives Lori and Joe a call, because everyone should have a coach. Michael Jordan always had a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson, Wayne Gretzky, the best of the best of the best, Muhammad Ali, they all had managers and coaches.
Yep.
Everyone else should have it. Improve your life. You got one life to live. Do it now. And we'll be right back with Understanding Autism coming up at 3 o'clock.
Welcome to the family.
This is Family Values Radio, 1010 AM, KXXT.
Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.